All right. 9:34. So I want everyone always asked, how are you this morning, right? How are you? And if you see on my slide, I've been on this quest, like, because I always have a hard time answering. What do you mean by how are you? Everyone just says good. No one ever says bad, right? So, but I feel like we should ask questions and we should answer it together, honestly, and have a deeper thought into that simple question. And I came across a Jewish, Messianic Jew, a Jewish pastor. And he says that in the Jewish culture, they ask each other, how are you? But they say, you guys going to say it with me, okay? Ma shlomech. It's not mech. Okay.
Ma shlomech.
Ma shlomech.
Ma shlomech.
Ma shlomech.
Ma shlomech.
Ma shlomech. Yeah, and I love it.
You have to gutter. It's called guttural. You got to be guttural. Ma shlomech.
You got to have a little phlegm, a little bit of it in there. Just a little, not too much.
Is that Mashlo Frank? Is that Hebrew? Is that Hebrew?
That's Hebrew. That's as Hebrew as it gets. Yeah, this is very Hebrew. So embedded in that is the word shalom. So when they say "how are you," they're actually saying, "How is your shalom today?"
Shalom.
That's a deeper question. Yeah, meaning how's your peace, the peace of God, that your general welfare. Mm-hmm. Because shalom covers everything about you, right? We study in Deuteronomy, right? Mm-hmm. We kind of went over that a little bit. The shalom, the peace of God, the entire presence of God over you. So that when the Jewish, they may not be mindful of this, but when they say how are you, they're saying, how's God's presence and his welfare and his peace over you? How is it today? They're with you. So let me break out into small groups today and let's spend 7 minutes just asking each other honestly, how is your shalom today? Ma shlomech. How is your shalom today? They ask that because it's not always the same, right? You can't just say, oh, good. There's more to that. So, Daniel, if you can break us up into threes or fours, depending on how many people there are, I don't see. And you guys can ask each other, ma shlomech. You guys have a good sharing to help?
Yes.
Yeah. We had a good sharing.
Yeah, good. Good. That helps. Maybe you guys can ask each other that next time. Instead of how you're doing, just say, hey, mashlomech. you know what we're asking, right? How's the presence of God? And I trust that. Well, we have a whole nother group that's still missing, right? Or is everyone here? Oh, yeah, everyone's here.
I think they're all back.
They're all back? Okay. Yeah, so it's I trust that everyone was able to share and to sense God's presence and be able to share that and be of encouragement to each other. So, all right. Let's start out with a word of prayer. Can I pray for you guys and pray for us before we begin? Heavenly Father, we come before you with anticipation of how you will speak to us today. We want to thank you because you are our shalom and our peace in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, and that though we do not always see it, it may not be as tangible, but Lord, we know that we can feel that you are with us. And especially when we read your word, when we worship you, when we sing to you, Lord. You are with us, and you speak to us, and you comfort us with your Holy Spirit, and you empower us in our weakness, in our needs, our shortcomings. You fill us, and we want to thank you, because who are we that you should take notice of us? But you do in our daily lives, the small things. You tend to us, you tend to our families, our children, our friends, our parents, our wives and husbands. Lord, you are so good to us, and we want to take the initiative to diminish the things that are of the earth right now and fix our eyes upon you. And because you are the Alpha and the Omega, the one who does not change. You are always on the throne. And when we look to you, we find that stability. We find that our God is a great God who is still in control over all the things of the earth, and that you have given us hope, you have given us strength, you have given us a purpose in life. And we worship you, we give glory to you, and yes, we praise your name this morning. We declare your name, we declare your goodness, and we say amen. And we just wholeheartedly just bring forth all that we have, even if it's little, whatever it is, even in our breathing, Lord, we come before you, and we say, you are God, and yes, you are our source, and you are our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. So we've been on the Beatitudes. And have you guys been enjoying the discussion? Maybe, yes.
Yes.
I hope so. I know I've been learning a lot, and I've been just been blessed by our discussions. For the past few weeks, we've been covering all the blessedness, right? And last week, Pastor Alex really led us in focusing in on meekness. He kind of went over meekness and hunger for righteousness. One of the most important ideas that we discussed was the idea that meekness, the gentleness that we have, is not self-manufactured. It's not self-prescribed. It doesn't come from us, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. Sure, we have the call to be gentle, right? That's a virtue that we all want to have, to be gentle, to be nice to our neighbors. But Pastor Alex and I, we're trying to steer us to look at this passage from a different perspective. This perspective is not new, but it's not nearly discussed as much as it should be. So the understanding is that Jesus is not talking about doing good things like everyone else, because many people do good things. Nothing wrong with that. But we are being drawn into actually receiving the fruit of the Spirit. That is the fruit that's being generated by the Holy Spirit that man cannot make. And it's not, this life doesn't come from having good moral etiquette or tradition, but rather it's the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And as we look from this angle, today's verse really is no different, right? It is building upon on the other verses that we've seen. It's like a rising staircase. If you think about a staircase, we're just taking a step at a time, but it's not flat. It's actually moving up. It's moving up towards the a goal. So we're building up the staircase. Today in Matthew 5:7, we see that blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Let me go to next. Okay. And here's the entire passage, entire section, if you guys have not, don't have it in front of you. So it seems that all these blessings or these lowly states that are the workings of the Holy Spirit and not of ourselves, right? So the audience whom Jesus is speaking to, they're experiencing this not because they choose to, but they actually are the audience, the people listening to Jesus are experiencing this because they're in it. They're in this state of poor in spirit. And some of them have been mourning for whatever reason, right? And they're in this state, a lowly state. And that's where Jesus came to proclaim good news, to offer them this blessing and to show them why they're actually blessed. And as I was reading this, I had some thoughts, and I just jotted down. It was just thoughts. And I was wondering if you guys would, you know, these are, you know, four things I thought of as I'm reading, kind of rereading the verses. And I just thought, Jesus is saying that there's a blessing in your situation. There's a heavenly purpose, whatever situation that you're in. Mm. A lowly situation, a tough situation. And these things are not working against you, but for you. It's working for you, for the good of those who love him. And I thought there's a real blessing in this pandemic. There's a blessing here. Isn't that what Jesus is saying on the Sermon on the Mount, that blessed are you who are poor in spirit, who are mourning, right? I don't know whether this pandemic is bringing those kind of feelings or situations to you, but regardless, a lot of people are going through it. But there is a blessing in this pandemic. And I came across this phrase that in International Critical Commentary, that's what it's called. It sounds so academic. But it's a good commentary. It's a very old commentary. And he said, there's a difference between a real blessing versus a sterile suffering. I thought that was, that got me thinking. Maybe it's too heavy this morning, but I just thought, wow, you know, since we're talking about blessings, right? We're talking about lowly states that we're in. There's a real blessing. There's a difference between a blessing and a sterile suffering when it has no meaning, right? You're just suffering through something. Jesus came to proclaim that even if we are in a state of suffering, that there is blessing behind it.
What is sterile suffering? What would sterile suffering be?
What's something that's sterile? What's something that's sterile? That's
clean and sanitized.
Sanitized. Ooh, sanitized. Okay, so clean. No movement. No life.
No.
Yeah. Something that's sterile. No bacteria, right? No virus. Which is a good thing in the sense in the pandemic, but but it's no life. It's just bland, blah. That's my definition. It's no life. It's clean, but there's no life there. Wow.
So what does that? So what does that look like? What are you saying?
So when you're suffering, you're kind of, well, I'm just in a bad situation. I just have to endure it.
Are you saying kind of like that's suffering, but you're not learning the purposes of the suffering? You're just, I'm just going to, you know, grit it through. I'm going through a bad time, whatever, it'll pass. But you're not learning, growing. There's not God's activity in your life through the suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing going on. Yeah. You're kind of just trying to get back to normalcy. Right. And you're not growing, and there's no spiritual activity or spiritual life that's going on. And it you see it as just a thing, a bad luck, right? A bad situation that we're in, and we just want to get out of it. But there's no growth. There's no, you're not seeing the blessing in it. I'm sure you guys are. But this thought came to me, and more when I read this, I thought, oh, that's something good to present, to just kind of refocus us, you know, to know that there's a blessing. We are not going through a sterile suffering, hopefully, right?
Right. Could that another meaning of that or another description could be like suffering in silence?
I guess that's not necessarily a bad thing. Suffering in silence. I think the point is whether it's suffering in silence or, you know, out loud. It's really going through suffering without any growth, right? Spiritual growth, without any spiritual growth and understanding and tapping into the, having a relationship with God and being more intimate with God through it all. Right.
According Chinese, the meaning is 白受罪, suffering for nothing.
Suffering for nothing. I like that. Okay.
白受罪,吃了苦了,没得到任何东西。
Right. Okay. Thank you, Linda.
Good.
You know, we have our in-house Chinese commentator every week. Thank you, Linda. Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
that's
good, I like Linda. That. I like good that. Bai Su Jue. Yeah. No, that's exactly what it is. I think that's a really good translation. Is that
suffering for nothing?
Suffering for nothing. Yeah. That's sterile suffering, right? But there is a goal. There is a reason.
But again, I don't think it's like a moral goal, right? It's not just like, hey, so that I can become a better person. I think what you're talking about, you know, that word real versus sterile suffering, a real blessing is hey, as I'm suffering as a child of God, the point you made above, right, from Romans is God is using this suffering not against me, but for me, right? So what are you doing, God? So how, you know, and sometimes I think we may not always learn immediately what God wants us to learn, how the suffering is working for us until later, right?
Yeah. And that's, it's an encouragement, right? To know that there is a blessing. For those who belong to God, there is a blessing. There always is a blessing. It's a promise from God that these things are working for the good of those who love him, right? So I hope that's an encouragement as we go through, as you go through whatever you're going through. But there is encouragement. The encouragement is that God has a purpose for all of us and for whatever we're going through. And there is a real blessing there, a spiritual blessing from the Bible. So blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. As we're going in this this chain, as I mentioned, that staircase, mercy I think we, many of us understand that term, and you know, the general definition is to help one who's afflicted, right? To help one that's in misery, to bring help to the wretched. That's the definition. We want to ask that, what is the difference between mercy and grace? There's a little difference here. What is grace? We'll just get through this quickly. We're not camping here. But what is grace? We've all received them. Is grace. You guys,
grace is like giving more opportunities or more understanding than what the other person or situation deserves.
Okay. Giving more understanding to the other person. More, is there another term or more something someone can help us flesh that out?
She used the word undeserved, right? More mm-hmm. than a person deserves. I think it has to do with that there's a sense of favor, right? That is, unearned, you know, or undeserved, you know,
right.
It's like you didn't work for it. You actually don't deserve it, but you receive, you know, understanding, favor, you know,
you're getting something you don't deserve.
And hey, Frank, I'm looking up a meaning here. It says that grace is the love and mercy given to us by God because God desires us to have it. Not necessarily because of anything we have done to earn it.
Mm. Unmerited favor. You guys heard that before? I think that's probably the shortest and the most succinct definition. Favor that you did not earn, but God just want to give it to you. That's, you want grace, right? That's why a lot of people name their daughters Grace, because it's a popular name. It's because it's just favor from God. You didn't even earn it. Yeah, you didn't ask for it. God just says, bam, I want to give favor to you. Why? Just because I want to, right? Unmerited favor. Mercy. Now, what is mercy then? In light of that. Not getting what we deserve, maybe. Yeah, that I always thought this is a good contrast, right? There's a different other definitions, but not getting what we deserve. What do we deserve before a just God? Mercy is great too. You want mercy, don't you? Not receiving what we deserve. Basically, it's forgiveness, right? Forgiveness from God. Mercy, there's a definition from commentary. It says mercy is the unmerited favor towards the miserable or hurting. So it's a different bent on the definition of grace. Mercy is the unmerited favor towards the miserable, right? If it weren't for God's mercy, we would stay in our misery. And we would, and God would allow us to be in this, you know, suffer the judgment of justice, right? Because we are sinful creatures. But because of God's mercy, because of his forgiveness, we are saved. So mercy is great. So we want grace, we want mercy. And that's the two things that we want to stand on when we are before God. We want God's grace and we want God's mercy. And you can ask for it all day long. So in light of that, I want to bring us to a verse in Hebrews. Check this out. Hebrews 2:17. by the way, one of the best books in the New Testament. It combines the Old Testament and New Testament. When you don't have a chance to read both, read Hebrews. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect. Him meaning Jesus, he meaning Jesus, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. That's the loaded verse. But therefore, he had to be made like his brothers, like a man, right? In all respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. I guess the question is, why did Jesus have to be made like his brothers in every respect? We won't go into groups. We'll just discuss it here, guys. I want to hear what everyone has to say. Why did Jesus have to be made like his brothers in every respect?
So he can be relatable to us.
Yeah. He can be relatable to us. And why, Bob? How does he become relatable to us by being made like his brothers?
To also, you know, to also endure all the emotional, physical pains and sufferings of the world.
Yeah.
But he didn't have to, you know, he's God, you know. Yeah. It's like,
yeah,
you don't think of God being, you know, one that suffers or one that goes through pain, right? Like God, right? So relatable to us in that he is able to understand our, you know, emotional, physical, spiritual pains that we go through.
Does, yeah, thank you.
Answer the question, or?
Yeah. Yeah, so he understands what we're going through, so that he can become merciful, so that he can be a merciful high priest in the service of God.
Maybe to let us know better for us, for a human being, then now that Jesus was God, but he was human. Now we are able to better understand as well, too, what grace and mercy is. From a human perspective, like, I think we all have our understanding of what grace is, like, in our own life, right? And that's why it's important for us to share, like, truly what grace is, and, like, from our perspective, right? And so for me, it's like the difference for grace and mercy is that grace is that nothing can separate me from God's love, even as much as I run, that's his grace for me. And mercy is like finally truly understanding in my heart that every breath is not my own. And when I finally realize that breath, like, I have mercy and reverence for him because I do not have control. So yeah, that's why I wanted to share. Like, I think with Jesus being human, now we as humans too are able to better understand him as well.
Okay. Thanks, Becca. So you're saying in the other way that we can understand what Jesus was going through too, because we are human, but he understands. But
he's the Alpha and the Omega. He understands all things.
He understands all things, but he was made. But then he had to be made like his brothers, like us. Isn't that crazy, though? Even though he understands all things, right?
Yes,
he had to be mercy. Yeah, is that I know he does understand all things, but he had to be made like us in flesh and blood and go through what we go through. Just think about what you go through and what I go through, right? But he had to be made, God had to go through the stuff that I go through and you go through.
I think the main part is He wants us to see it, see him as human with all the feelings, because he himself knows everything. He doesn't really have to do it, but he did it for us so that we could see it as an example.
He certainly did that. That's one of the reasons. He certainly did that for us to see as an example, to be an example. More so he did it to it says right here, to die for our sins, to satisfy the judgment of sin. Unless there's the shedding of blood, there is no satisfaction to the judgment of sin. He did it for us on the salvation level. And it's interesting here that he did it for us also so that he can be merciful too. He can empathize. He can sympathize with us.
Frank, there's this concept that, I think Bob was touching upon it, but, you know, like even the New Testament writers, in Paul, like even in some of the pastoral epistles, he refers to the two words separately, you know, like, you know, even as in his introductions, I think like grace and mercy, right? And peace to you. and I once heard it like this, and it's not to say that it's right. It kind of gave me a framework. Cause I was like very set on what you had said earlier, you know, unmerited favor, you know, deserving, not deserving. But a preacher had given a perspective this way, where he said, grace is very much associated with like addressing the sin issue, right? So we get what we don't deserve in that way. Like we get what we can't earn, right? Which is a standing with God and all that. Mercy is very similar to what Bob was saying in the terms of mercy. In the verse that you read in Hebrews, it's him become like lowering himself, like what we see in Philippians 2, lowering himself all the way to the point of being a lowly human and being the lowliest human of that, like the servant, so that he would understand. So not only that he ultimately will die for our sins, which is the grace, and secure our relationship with him, like Becca said, like nothing can separate it. That's grace. But mercy is him understanding the miserable condition that we're in, the misery of the consequences of sin in our life, right? So grace is a little bit different. Mercy really has to do with him being able to understand as a human, and we know that he understands as a human, like what are the consequences of living in this stained, polluted world, and knowing the misery that's associated with being under and in this world of sin. And so that's why the verse said, and I think the word that it's funny, we say mercy a lot, we say mercy, but the word is actually blessed are the merciful, right? Which means that is a trait of someone who has the Spirit of God, right? That is someone who is able to be from the inside, like full of mercy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
I don't know. I was just thinking about that.
Yeah. And in order to be from the inside, to be in a state of mercy, you must have received mercy.
Right.
In order to be merciful, right? And it is, he was made low to understand us, to feel what we feel in the state of misery. We, you know, I said earlier, one of the definitions was unmerited favor towards the miserable. Who are the miserable? The ones who did not have God, right? He's talking to who are the poor in spirit, spiritually bankrupt. Oh, that misery, right? He was made low to the point of being a human and to kind of bestow mercy to us, not only to understand us, but to give mercy, to be merciful to us, right? To ultimately to bring hope and salvation. Of course, we don't stay in that misery, obviously. That's not the gospel. It's the good news, because he came down to us as a human being to understand our misery, to be brought low so that he can bring us high. So he can bring us back to the Father, to the kingdom, to reign with him. Isn't that what the Bible says? To reign with him in heaven, right? That's the good news. I don't want to minimize the importance of this, but one way I thought it was good is I was talking to Peter this week. Anyone have stepped on a Lego before?
Oh, I hate that.
Oh yeah, okay. So anyone else, have you stepped on a Lego before? And when I asked Peter, he says, "No, I don't know what you're talking about." I said, "It's painful." He says, "No, it's just a Lego." Oh, you haven't stepped on a Lego before. CJ has, right?
He's the one who lays the Lego trap.
Right. He's the one who lays the trap. But when the parents stepped on the Lego, do you like that feeling? Have you ever stepped on a Lego before? Those of you who have, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, you feel it. Those of you haven't, you kind of understand, oh, yeah, I don't want to step on it. But you don't know what it means to step on a Lego that fell off, a small piece of shard that just pokes right into your foot. Mm-hmm. And it creates so much pain, right? Those of you who stepped on Lego, you know this picture, right? That's what I think of, right? Yeah, Scott, you have, so you understand. That's in light gesture, but it's the same thing, right? To help us understand that, hey, we have been in the situation. Jesus has been in the situation. He's brought low. He understands us. He sympathizes with us. Therefore, he can be merciful. And we, very much like him, when we are brought low, right? There's a blessing there. When we are brought low, there's a blessing. Blessed are the merciful, that you are able to show mercy to others. Because you have been experiencing being poor in spirit. You have been in mourning. You have been learning gentleness, being gentle, being meek. You have been hungering and you have been thirsting for righteousness. You've been in that state. Therefore, you are able to be merciful. You can't be merciful if you never had to be on the other end of receiving mercy, right? Yeah. That's good news, guys. So here's the encouragement. If you've been through a lot of pain and there is a redeeming value and hope, blessed are you because you have a wider net of compassion and forgiveness. Because you have been shown mercy by God, who has saved you many times, right? How many times have God saved you? How many times have you experienced mercy in your life? How many times have you been forgiven in your life? If you just think about that. I probably should put the next slide earlier, but I want to go into this. The Greek word that Jesus used is elios, often viewed as secularly as a sign of weakness, of overly lenient, from the Bible dictionary. It's actually, he could have used other definitions or other words for mercy, but he used this. It's actually a secular word. It was a sign of weakness, of overly lenient. And a great commentator for Book of Matthew is John MacArthur. And he said, a Roman philosopher called mercy the disease of the soul. It was a supreme sign of weakness. The Romans glorified courage, justice, discipline, power. That was not a sign of a real man. So having mercy, that's interesting, right? So Jesus is using this. He's speaking to people using the word mercy as a sign of weakness. They understood it as that as well. Ah, this was a trait of a weak man from a secular level. Isn't that ironic? But this was not a sign of a weak
Frank,
man.
Do you think that still?
Go ahead.
So in light of this, wouldn't all of these things be flying in the face of what they understand, right? Even poor in spirit, right? You said the staircase. It all kind of leads up. You know, how can this upside down view be blessed, right? Like the world's not promoting these things. The world doesn't promote meekness. If mercy is now this word that they're all used to hearing, that is common and that represents weakness, like how do you think they're beginning to process this? Is this good for them? And also does that still measurement stay today? Like, does the world define manliness as someone who's merciful, right?
Yeah.
I'm gonna mute it.
Yeah, this, you know, like Pastor Alex says, this is flying in their face right now. This is everything that they, that's why this is a sermon, you know, a sermon that's so talked about, right? Why? How does weakness bring about blessing? This is completely opposite from what the world says. Even mercy, right? Having a weak characteristics such as mercy, how is that being a blessing? So they are processing this, and Jesus is directing their eyes onto something that's a lot more spiritual, right? A lot more kingdom-minded. It's not a sign of a real man. It's a sign of a spiritual man. He's opening their eyes to spiritual things. To spiritual things. That being merciful, being overly lenient is blessed. It is not a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength, because you have received mercy from God. That's the blessing. Because you're in that weak state, because you're spiritually bankrupt, because you're thirsting after righteousness, but you can't get it yourself. And God's merciful, God's mercy comes down upon you. Therein lies the blessing. Because you're yielding to God now, right?
If we bring the concept of mercy more to real life, I think there's a litmus test that we can think about. Because these phrases and terms, I know we're trying to understand it biblically, but then remember, the Bible uses words that reflects what those words mean to the audience at the time, right? God is not choosing a difficult to understand language. He's choosing language that people understand at the time. And right. So that's how we need to be able to approach the word of God too, right? So a litmus test I was thinking is, do we have mercy, right? God says, blessed are the merciful. Well, how do we show mercy? In what circumstances do you have that inner quality, a Christian quality of showing mercy? And I'm just going to present this for us to think about. You guys can respond if you want. This is not a black and white absolute situation, but think about it. This is not in the news so much now, but it was like a few years, this year, last year, right? For whatever reason, there are people from South America who are driven to cross the border illegally into the United States.
And because that breaks the law, so the United States puts them in detention centers with barbed wires and then separating the parents and the children. Do you read that as news only, or do you look at those families and does that evoke a certain sense in your heart? How do you feel about situations like that? Do you have mercy in viewing people who are in those circumstances because they're miserable? What makes somebody want to pick up and leave home? That's their home and their family and their people they love for whatever reason, right? And then having come to a country that's foreign, don't speak the language, and then get treated that way, and then having their children separated. How do you feel about that? And then how do you actually do something about it? Or do people harden up and say, hey, too bad, you're criminals, you break the law. So, right, I'm going to show courage, justice, discipline, and power, and that I'm just going to treat you like criminals. That's a real life situation. And that's not just for people in the news, that's for people around us. I think this is great that we're thinking about it, but as Christians, mercifulness, showing mercy is, well, it's not a fruit of the Spirit, but is a defining characteristics that we have. But we can only, I think we can only have mercy when we have been shown mercy from God, like what Frank's saying, that if I understand how I have received mercy from God, and I appreciate that, and it goes into the inner core of my being, I'm gonna have a soft heart and a merciful heart towards people who are dealing with miserable circumstances and in misery.
Yeah. Yeah, that's thanks, Pastor James. That leads us to mercy in action, right? Mercy, as you said, you know, we look at Jesus. Mercy was perfectly manifesting Christ, right? We'll just read this together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. We're just talking about the captives, right? And the regaining of the sight to the blind, to set those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus was perfectly merciful. And it's like what Pastor James just said right now. You know, this I like this commentary, but this is exactly what he was saying. It has been said that unless we recognize ourselves as chief of sinners, like Paul, unless we have become like Isaiah, who declared that he was deserving of judgment because of the sin of his mouth, we are not ready to serve those caught in sin. If we don't recognize our own great depravity, we will not be gentle or effective in our ministry to others. We will not be merciful. In fact, we may be abusive. Unless we receive mercy, and we know what that feels like on the other end of the spectrum, where we are the one who are in great desperate need of mercy, it's hard for us to be merciful. So blessed are you, blessed are the ones who are merciful because they have received mercy and they can show mercy. This helps me to really get to the daily life, right? This is mercy in action. Are you mindful of your failures before God? That you received God's mercy. You can tell, and no one needs to answer this, but you can tell by whether your response is typically gentle or harsh when others fail you. You can tell whether you're merciful, right? By whether your response is typically gentle or harsh. I know that when I ask this question, I really have to rethink whether I'm merciful. whether I'm showing mercy to others.
Frank, can we say, or would you say that if we find out, if we look within ourselves and see that we actually are unable to or difficult to show mercy, like we don't have that mercifulness inside of us, does that mean that we don't know the mercy of God, that we have not received mercy? I mean, God gives mercy, but could it be that we don't know how to receive it? We haven't received it if we're not able to show it?
Yeah, so that's a good question, Pastor James. I think in the beginning we were talking about this is not something we do, right? Jesus is not telling us do good things. It is about receiving, more about receiving. I know in our Chinese culture, it's hard for us to receive things. I'm learning that. But I think a lot of that journey as a believer, and I'm learning too, I can't give a perfect answer to that. But I know that it is a process of not trying to be merciful, but it's a process of receiving more of God's mercy. And receiving.
No, I think that's what he's saying. Yeah. I think that's what Pastor James is saying. Like, yeah. Could it be that if we're lacking in mercy, is it that we have not fully understood or reflected, right, or processed through the mercy of God, right? And it's not like the answer is, oh, let me grit my teeth and try to be now full of mercy, right? But I think he's asking that question, right? You know, like, did we miss a little bit? And it's not that we've missed salvation, like, do we miss the extent or the power, the greatness of his mercy shown to us?
Right.
Yeah, that is definitely a big possibility. We have yet to really understand and receive and allow mercy to fill us, to infiltrate our understanding before God. And we have not recognized our own state, that we are depraved and we have failed before God. I think we have a very many times that, you know, when I'm not merciful, it's because I forget what kind of state that I'm in, right, before God. So it is that journey of understanding and receiving and really, really being immersed in God's mercy. Unless that happens, it's very hard for us to be merciful. You guys agree?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Why, Linda?
I think so. Because we love people because our love from God. Love us, then we can love brother, sister, we can love other people. Like this is same theory.
Same thing, yes. Yeah. You're right, Linda. Thank you, Linda. Yeah, thank you for reminding us that, we love because he first loved us. And we have mercy because he has shown mercy. It's the same thing. Jesus has shown mercy to us. God has shown mercy to us first. It's so good. Kai, did you want to say something? I see you are muted.
Yeah. One of the areas I've been thinking about listening to everyone sharing regarding this is, I think it's kind of sometimes easy to understand, right? Like, I understand God forgave me. I almost sometimes just take that for granted and leave it at that. You know, like, all right, he's forgiven me, I've confessed, and then you just kind of leave it at that. But I think, you know, when we come back to, you know, how you were saying, like, you may be an indication of, like, your, you know, how you respond to people. Is it abusive or is it, gentle, right? And that sometimes isn't always, you know, I would say for the most part, it's not natural for people, right? We respond a certain way because typically, in one sense, that's, you know, our personality, that's how we're like, how we are, right? But one of the things, you know, kind of thinking back is like, when we say like, you know, we do everything for the glory of God, right? Like, and that would include how we respond to people, right? That would include how we respond to, especially when we are like, I don't know, like people fail us or people wrong us, or we think they wrong us, right? We can justify a lot of ways in our heads. But one of the process that I believe sometimes like for the Holy Spirit that brings me through this is, okay, how is my following reaction or response in a way like glorifying to God, bringing him like, you know, all the glory that people will see, like, okay, this is God, you know? And I think sometimes like it's not natural because a lot of times I still want to like, what, this person don't know what they're doing. Like they totally messed this up, you know, like how many times I got to tell them, you know, like that's the natural response. But then a lot of the, like the process that happens a lot of the times is like, okay, before I get all like, you know, corrective and like telling people all this and that, it's like, okay, I'm processing the image of like how patient Jesus has been with me in my failures, you know, in moments where I've messed up many times and he had to tell me many times over and over again, right? And then as I like kind of reflect on that image, then my tone and my perspective changes into, okay, how can I help this person, you know, to understand? Maybe they have a hard time to understand it, or, you know, it's just they need another round of, you know, hey, can I get trained on this item? I think in that sense, understanding how Jesus has forgiven us, but also like not just keeping our minds, but when that moment comes, when you want to say something, and I feel like a lot of times we have these outbursts because we're only looking at ourselves, right? Because we're looking at how we are wrong, right? And what we deserve. But at the same time, if we, you know, allow the Spirit to kind of step in and says, yes, this is what you deserve, but I gave you something different, right? I gave you what you don't deserve. And when you, you know, just like kind of what you shared earlier, it's he who has been forgiven can forgive a lot. You know, if you don't realize how much you have been forgiven in your life, I think this would entail a good, area of our life to really take a moment, think about how God has forgiven us, right? And not just the knowledge sense that like he has forgiven you, but like sit down and part of your reflection, think of how he has shown you mercy.
That's good. So good, Kai. Yeah, that really is bringing everyone to that peak of that, this concluding in this on this verse is that if we just took time to recall all the forgiveness and the mercy that God has given us, how overly lenient he is with us in many respects all the time. If we just took some time to think about that for ourselves, it would help us to put everything else in perspective and being more lenient with others in their mistakes, in their misery, which leads them to do things that are maybe offensive against you. So many things, right? With human interaction in our families, with our kids, our friends, our parents, our spouses. So, you know, how overly lenient God is with us, towards us, will really help us slow down and be merciful to others, because God has shown us mercy. Yeah, that then you're blessed. That's what Jesus says, blessed because of your being merciful, that you shall find mercy, you shall be shown mercy, right? Blessed are the merciful, for you shall be shown mercy. That's great news. Again, this is just not the way the world works, but this is like what Pastor Alex always says, the upside down kingdom, things that are always a paradox, an opposite of the world, against current, but that's where the treasure is.